have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Conscious by Nature, where we talk about it because we live it and we understand it because we've been there before.
We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden.
It's your boy D. Lamar, the scholar. You know what it is. Conscious by Nature.
What's good? It's your boy, the genius. This is Conscious by Nature, man.
So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against the common enemy.
Catch us every week. We dropping raw, real conversations for the people,
man. Black love, black culture, always conscious.
100 years ago, they used to put on a white sheet and use a bloodhound against Negroes. Today, they have taken off the white sheet and put on police uniforms.
Money Mac, the pretty boys champ here with the scholar D. Lamar and the genius Tyson Area 51 Porter. Three kings. Conscious by Nature, man. Check us out. YouTube, Spotify, 8 o'clock, Friday nights, man. Don't miss, man. For the culture. One love. We out. Stay conscious. What's happening? I mean, what up, though? Welcome to Conscious by Nature, where we talk about it because we live it and we understand it because we've been there before. Money Mac, the pretty boys champ. To my left, D. Lamar, the scholar.
Peace, peace, peace.
The genius, Tyson Porter.
What's good?
Yo, man. Good show last night. I really appreciate y'all. Man.
I appreciate you, man.
We got a good team over here, man. We got a good team over here. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. You better come on and join this nation. Subscribe to this. Man.
Subscribe. Hit the bell. You know what I mean? Get all those notifications.
Yeah.
Thank you for hitting us in the Cash App.
Definitely.
How was the week?
It's a tough week this week, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. Just go ahead, Tyson.
It sounds like you had a week that I had previous week, man. You know what I'm saying? It's real out here. We all black men, we work hard, professional grade out here in what we do. It's draining.
But you know what? I'm not there anymore. I got off that slave ship.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
It's entrepreneur right here.
Listen, my weeks, even when they hard, they good.
Hey. Oh, man. Well, hey, man, that's what's up.
Like, I want you guys off of that too, man.
Yeah,
man.
Y'all off of that soon, man.
All right. Start where we always start, man. What we got?
Real quick, before we get busy.
Okay, before we get busy?
We have some new subscribers come through.
Hey.
And we appreciate y'all coming through and rocking with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
So welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Wipe your feet. And what I mean, wipe your feet, hit the like button.
Yes.
And show us some love when you come on in. So thank you.
And share it with your friends. You know, if you got people that you joined our show, you like our content, share it with them. So maybe they might like it too.
Yeah. All right, cool. Good shit. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, where we at?
So start off, man, respect due and rest in power to DMX, man. Dark Man X, Earl Simmons, passed away April the 9th. They said it was from complications of a heart attack, but I've heard different things, man. You got anything about that, Ty?
Allegedly. It could have been because he had received the...
The situation from 2020.
Right. See that.
That continued to persist into 2021.
Right. So it may not have been the drugs that everybody was talking about. It may have been something else.
Oh, my apologies then. I just shamelessly assume.
Man.
Sorry.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, because we got love for X, man.
We do got love for X. We've been... Listen, let me... Let me tell you something, man. Southside, 1998.
Yes, sir.
We was on Philadelphia at a house party, all right?
Yeah.
X was the song, What These Bitches Want From a Nigga. We still got the toast from that night.
Yes. Yes.
Timestamp.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
That was Youngstown.
It's dark and hell is hot. First album. favorite song on the album is The Crime Story. If you know anything about it, listen to it. But that second album, that was literally for like two summers or more. Like, come on, man.
That Flesh?
That was the album.
That intro, it was just go mode.
Every single time. And we going to parties, we kicking it, we just everywhere.
It's probably one of the coldest intros to any album I've ever heard.
Yep. Yeah, man.
You know.
So
not many cats got better intros. Dude, like when I think about it, maybe Rick Ross and Jay intro. Other than that, I can't think of one that is better than that.
So, you know, respect to you, you know, and your family. It's been, you gave us a lot of yourself, a lot of good memories, a lot of love. And, I mean, if we talk about it, let's talk about where he ranks. And, you know, is he top five, let's say, of 90s era? DMX, what y'all think about that? Man. 90s.
At the height of his powers, he's probably right up there, top five. Like 90,
early 2000s, 90s. Yeah. I guess that would be where it would be.
Yeah, right there.
You know, so, all right, let me get it from you. So my question is to the crew, to the three kings here. Give me top five of that era, DMX era. Where is he at? And this is not the shame, X, but, you know, hip-hop, rap, that's African culture. That's stuff that we got.
Okay, so
we could talk about that on Conscious by Nature, no doubt.
Absolutely. So you would say Jay, because obviously the East, but like No Limit had a really
strong run.
So like Mystical got to be in there, right?
Okay, so we're saying top five or top three.
Let's do top five. You just said five. now you shaming me?
No. Go ahead.
So let me see. We're going to say Jay. See, man, but you got three locks, and that's, you know, that's really tough. It was hard for me to say if X was better than the three locks.
He better than Looch.
After taxes? You disrespectful.
Listen, I can't.
Yeah, man.
He is not the strongest of the three. He's not.
Are we talking strictly rap, or are we talking just his influential, you know, power during that time frame?
Because, okay, so we talking something. So then if you're talking that, you're only talking probably like Jay-Z, Master P, DMX. In that
as
order.
As far as influence.
If you're talking about just straight influence, we that order. Yeah. Without a doubt.
I would agree. And then we say five, then you have to put Method Man in because we're talking about late 90s then. So he was the most popular of the Wu.
Yeah. So, but you still got to have a West Coast rapper. And at the time, Snoop was part of No Limit. And so that made them really strong.
Man, Snoop, man, yeah.
Snoop is just Snoop.
Snoop is the icon.
Right.
One of the greatest ever.
So,
okay.
Yeah, Snoop, absolutely Snoop.
Yeah. And I'm not putting it in no order. That's just five right there.
Okay.
Because that's another show, another conversation. We talk about order, you know. So, respect due to DMX, you know.
That's what's up, man. Like that intro today.
No doubt, man.
What you got, TP?
Man, as far as like the top five, or are we still on?
No, give me a new subject.
New subject, man. Yeah. Well, since we on, rap real quick.
Okay.
Man, the one chick, man, who was on Dr. Phil?
What was that, Bad?
Catch Me Outside Girl?
Yeah,
Bad Baby?
Bad Baby,
okay.
Did you see she made $1 million in 6 hours? Or
doing what?
Just she turned 18 and posted up on OnlyFans.
Oh, she wild, boy. And who want to see her anyway?
Well, you know there's cats out here that just...
Listen. This is a perfect example of just why women think men are so nasty and perverted. This is a perfect example.
Right.
This is the perfect example. Like, $1.6 million in 6 hours? Are you kidding me?
That's wild.
For her?
Right.
I seen her at the gym. It's better ones in the gym.
Man,
I walked past her in the grocery store and didn't even look at her.
Straight up.
Man, shut up.
There's
man.
Nothing special about that man, girl shut. That would make me want to break bread and see her.
She made $1 million.
Million plus.
In 6 hours.
And less than six.
All right, let's get the ski masks out. That's wild.
You know what? That's pathetic. I'm liable to tell my wife get her OnlyFans. Straight up, this is ridiculous. Man. On some real.
Man, listen.
Oh, speaking of that, let me segue into a conversation I had last night, man. So I get hit up by the Cuddy, A Measy. Okay, shout out to A Measy, man. You know what I'm saying? He was watching the show, and he was like, "Yo, cuz, remember when I was on the show and we was talking about OnlyFans?" He said, "Man, why am I now directing and producing my own OnlyFans page?"
What?
Yes. Directing and producing his own OnlyFans. Not his. He has two females.
Okay.
Thank you for the clarity. I love you, bro.
I feel where you see you. I feel where you was going with that. Like, come on, man. That wouldn't even cross my mind that he would.
Jokes, man.
I know. You know
what I'm saying? If they paying him well, do that.
Hey, man, get your bread.
He said he's trying to get that 150K, but now it's a new record now. You got a whole new ball game. Yeah,
you got to get a meal in a 6 hours time span. Man,
oh, so it was a meal in 6 hours.
If we could clock 10 G's a month, we need to do it. I'm going to holler at her later. An extra 10 G's?
Come on, man. This is ridiculous. Her? Her?
Her.
What we got, man?
No standards.
None. Cats don't even, they just don't even care. They just, you know, this is one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard, man. Yes. And it's not like I'm trying to dog her, but I'm just like, yo, you're not that bad. Okay.
Straight up.
Popularity gets you there. People pay for anything. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about branding, popularity. I mean, she got famous off of being on Dr. Phil by being disrespectful to her parents, bruh. And we talked about that on several shows, too, about, you know, there being no honor and how children are raised differently now. Like, she got famous for being disrespectful. And then she continues to act in a way that is, you know, not conducive to, you know, a positive environment for a young person at all. But she's getting rich and richness and fame from it. So why should she change? Her life is probably not in order. I hope it is. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this is just a persona she's putting on to get paid. But even that builds an identity that someone else is following. And that's the thing that we got to be aware of and conscious of, is that someone is looking at you.
Don't nobody, cause she don't care. Exactly. That somebody looking at her. She just made a million in 6 hours. Care. She don't care. And you know what? Why should she care when the standards of the people checking in is so low? Like,
yeah,
she don't give a damn.
You don't know who your OnlyFans are, who paying you. Like, they just cashing out, right? Your subscribers, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
There's no morals when that money's green. This is all I'm checking for, that green money.
Yeah,
in my account.
That shit is ill. So. Go ahead, what we got?
All right, well, just trying to just check in and give you another update on the Derek Chauvin trial, as we did last week. Testimony continued this week, where we had a lieutenant from the Minneapolis Police Force who worked over Derek Chauvin, and he gave testimony that the chokehold was uncalled for, the reasoning and the amount of time that he had him on the ground was uncalled for. And totally just that everything that Derek Chauvin did and the officers that were with him in his action were things that are frowned upon and not part of police training. So we have that. We had several testimonies from doctors, pulmonologists, stating that he did not die because of drugs or anything in his system. It was because of the fact that he didn't get proper air to his lungs. So I've seen three or four doctors who all saw Brother Floyd, EMTs on the scene, stating that they pretty much thought that he was gone when they got there. They were administering no help to Brother Floyd. And when they got there, they still had their knees on his back. And he was unresponsive. So only in this America where systemic racism floods the justice system do we even have a trial, in my opinion, for something that
it's evident.
Is evident in every possible way.
Like, it's evident. Like, the mockery and a circus that is going on with this trial is basically, that's what it is, a circus. The evidence is overwhelming. Just put the film on.
Yeah.
Just put the tape on. Once you see the tape, why do we need this excessive testimony from each and every person? Like, do we need this much corroboration to convict an officer who is clearly guilty?
Qualified immunity. And I spoke about it on a couple shows ago, and I couldn't really get in that. And that was like the protections that are in place for officials, whether they be police officers or any officer of a legal faction. Like, that's why this trial is even here. Because if it's just a regular people like me or you, I mean, you immediately going to prison. That trial, all of that is happening within days. It's just gone. It's over. And we have everything possible to see the wrongdoing that was done to this man. So that's why we fear, or the common person fears, the police. Because if you're black or brown, you know you never getting justice. You know it. And every time I watch any part of this trial, I'm just sitting there thinking like, what more do they need to say? Why are we here? And I'm still pessimistic that even after all of this, he'll see any justice.
And what's crazy is that the prosecutor gets up there and try to cross-examine these witnesses. I don't understand what is going on out here, man. Like, the man is clearly a professional. He clearly understands what he's talking about. Like, I know you're trying to do your job, but, like, at what point do you just be like, yo, can we just get a deal?
They're looking for that one breakthrough, that one little thing that says, ha, we can get him off on that.
They're trying to build the case that, of course, they start off with trying to destroy your character. The EMT, she was off duty. She worked for the fire department. But she's one of the people that walked up next to Brother Donnell Williams, who was recording first. I was the gentleman who was a wrestler, MMA, and worked security and worked with the police force. When she started recording, and she called 9-1-1-2 to call the police and the police, she said that Brother Floyd was a tall, slender man in her report. So I see cross-examination by the defense stating, you said Mr. Floyd was a thin, slender man. She says, yes, while him being laying face down on the ground and him being pressed down, it looked that way from my vantage point. But I realized that was an incorrect characterization. So he's trying to use even that little bit of technicality to state that it was like her call was wrong. So her ability to view the situation should not be taken into account.
Yeah.
Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
and that's when we talk about rats. Like, how could you be a lawyer and then just stand up for something that you know is wrong? And that's why I can never be in the legal system, because they want you to lie, man.
Yeah, I know. I feel it, man.
It's just tough.
What we got, TP, man? Let's,
Man, we're going to light it up a little bit. Did y'all see this, man?
What happened?
Did y'all see the lady, man, pour gasoline all over her car?
Dude.
Ladies, come on in. What y'all be thinking about sometimes, man? Your mind just be scatterbutt. Oh. How in the world can you pull up into a gas station, pull the nozzle out, and begin to spray your car as if you are at a car wash. One cigarette butt, you driving, you gone, you toast. You a piece of rotisserie gold.
Rotisserie gold. What's up?
You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? We need to take a look at that.
So, man, when I saw this, and you know what the funniest thing was, the commentary from the people who were talking.
Oh, my God. Because
they're like, oh, my God. We need to call somebody. And she's just going in. She's spraying inside the radiator, the grate. I don't know what's
wrong,
people.
She's even wiping the car down with her hand.
Let me tell you something.
She couldn't smell the gas.
Let me tell you something. After further evaluation and analysis, that was her cheating man's car.
Oh, shit.
Word.
See, we over here laughing, and everyone thinks this lady is crazy. Which she is. She's crazy. But that is not her car. My friends, she is taking that car and parking it, and she knows he likes black and miles. And when he like that black and mild up in the car, you know what I'm saying? That's what she's thinking about. She's not crazy. She's just crazy.
You know what, champ?
Oh shit!
you have shined the light. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's funny. It's like, oh, this bitch crazy. Like, nah, who's her dude?
Oh, because the whip was nice.
You know what? She's on to something.
Yeah.
So then we see a video a while back. I think maybe it might have been last summer. It was a black girl. And she was just dousing gasoline into the dude's car.
Yep.
And then she went to go lick that.
And that shit blew up.
In her face.
But because she was between the cars and shit.
Between cars and shit.
She was stupid.
But I'm like, man, damn.
She crazy, but she not crazy.
But she not crazy. See, you know what I'm saying? Man. Now, you know.
The champ is on. On it right
I
now.
Hope her dude seen that video. See, the worst thing possible is she drove 40 minutes out of town and did that, and somebody that she didn't know.
I would be afraid to start that car without gas on it.
You know what I mean? Maybe she never turned it off. It's not like she put gas in it. She just put gas on it.
She sure as hell put gas on it.
Yeah, for sure.
But man, man, I would like to find out what happened to that one. Uh-huh. God damn.
Where's the spoon?
For sure.
Crazy. Good man, stuff. Crazy. Good stuff.
Good stuff. For man, sure. For crazy. Sure. We got, what we got?
All right, man. So, you know, I'm coming with the, we got, I don't know where this is located. Lieutenant Army Officer Karan Nazario pulled over. For a traffic stop at a gas station. There's at least 3 cop cars on the scene when I first saw the video. And they have their guns drawn and tasers telling him to get out of the car. First of all, not to get out of the car, put your hands out the window. Army Lieutenant puts his arms out the windows and he's stating what is going on over and over again. Why am I stopped? They say, it's a traffic stop. He says, okay, put your hands out the window, unbuckle your seatbelt, and get out the car. So they're yelling at him to put his hands out the window, but also unbuckle your seatbelt. This doesn't sound right.
That's a trap.
It's definitely a trap. He says he's afraid. I'm afraid. I don't understand what's going on. Tell me what's going on. How can you keep your hands out the window and also put your hands back in the car to get your seatbelt off? That sounds like a trap to get you shot. Mm-hmm. Because the minute you put your hands back into the car, you could be reaching for something if you black or brown.
Oh, you know that's what they're going to say. Oh, he's reaching.
That's it.
And now I got 20 clips in my ass.
He tells them, I'm an Army officer. I hear the cop yell back, I'm an officer too, and you should have just obeyed the law. Like, they're so disrespectful when they talk to us, man. So he continues to keep his arms out the window saying, what is this for? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. They keep telling him to get out of the car. Now you're resisting arrest. He hasn't done anything. His car is stopped. If he wanted to evade the police and resist arrest, he could have just drove away. Right. Still in the car. They spray him. I don't know if it was with pepper spray. He still has his arms off the vehicle. He's saying, ah, this is really messed up. Why are you doing this? You know, he tells the other cop not to help him. He says, I can't get to my seatbelt. But he still has his arms out the window this entire time. So they finally do that, and they tackle him to the ground. I'm a lieutenant in the Army. He even asked who their superior officer was. They disrespected this officer, this man who's been serving all of us for a traffic stop. They would not tell him the reason why. They tell him that he was being detained, mistreating an Army officer, this Afro-Latino gentleman, lieutenant officer of the Army, Karan Nazario.
Unbelievable.
It don't matter if you got an Army outfit on. If you one of us, man.
They pull you out of anything.
Yeah.
I'm just impressed how the man kept his cool.
Yeah.
Right? Kept his thoughts in order. You know what I'm saying? Because they were trying to trap him. Put your hands out. Unbuckle your seatbelt. This, that, the other. I'm getting sprayed. He still kept his cool. Hey, man, you didn't spray my dog, too, back here.
He did say
and
that.
My dog is choking back here. Still kept his cool. Still like, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And his Army fatigue.
Man, had it on.
And his fatigues.
He was fully dressed.
Come on, man. What are we doing?
And BDUs, yeah.
See, that's why I might say something that might be a little bit explosive.
Let's go.
Right. Respect to everybody who has served.
Mm.
Respect due.
For sure.
I greatly appreciate your service. I could never serve this country. I just couldn't. Not how they treat you. You go and fight for somebody, you fight for this country, you come back and you get treated less than? Mm. Hell no. I'm sorry.
Treated worse.
I don't think it's explosive. I understand that people are going to have different stances on things. My father, sergeant, battalion in the Korean War. My uncle, Vietnam. My grandfather, World War II. And I wouldn't serve either. Not because I don't respect what they do, but I don't like how they get treated after. You know, like, there should always be something waiting for our soldiers. You shouldn't have to pay for nothing. You should always have your insurance taken care of. Your family should be fine. I had a homie that I used to work with a long time ago back home at St. E's, man. Was in Desert Storm. His name was Christian. Cool dude. But, man, he had PTSD so bad. And it's like they would never help him. I mean, I come over to his house. Every time we answer the door, he got his peace. Because he's just hearing stuff, you know what I'm saying? And I used to tell him, like, man, you know, somebody, they ain't offering no insurance to help you. Man, he had to, like, try to work in the hospital with me. And, like, they ain't taking care of our troops, man. And then to see stuff like this.
Well, you know, that's how America respects them. So that's how the justice and the legal system going to respect them.
Yeah,
and
I don't even think that's beyond color right there.
Yeah, that's beyond. Like, when you serve, you put that's beyond color. So when you see those fatigues, like, what are you doing? Right. How disrespectful are you actually being now?
Because I don't like how they treat, our white brothers and sisters. If you serve, period. You got to be taken care of for the rest of your life, in my opinion, absolutely, man. Like, risk your life.
Housing, everything.
Yeah, man.
You every time you step into a restaurant, food on the house, right? You go to a game, front row.
Straight up.
You see what I'm saying? Like, everything that you do thereafter is taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's not. We slough you off to the side.
Man.
You know? That shit's wild to me, man.
But, I don't know how the rest of that situation was resolved, but it just really struck me as a terrible act, you know, against that lieutenant and those police officers, man. It is every turn it shows me that they're not vetted correctly, or they are vetted the way they want them to. You bring in a bunch of power hungry guys with bad attitudes, and you let them watch over the public. Like, how you gonna keep me safe? You know what I'm saying? I saw another video, but we ain't really talking about it that much on the show. Young man, he obviously was being detained because, and this is a young black man, because of something that he did. You know, because I don't stand up for people who do wrong, regardless of what color you are. So they got him on the ground, arresting him, handcuffing him. It's the time there's snow on the ground. This cop is pushing snow in this young man's face, smothering him. Like, I'm like, what the hell? You can't do that. Everyone has rights. Even if you're a criminal, you got to respect the rights of everyone. But that's not what happens. Ever. Punching people in the back of the head. I mean, I see all kind of crazy stuff. That's all I got on that, man.
What else we got, man?
So, once again, we got some racist activity caught on video. Young man and his girlfriend.
Racist activity.
Man, listen. Like, it's on the radar.
It's the American way.
You know, they're in their car, and it's an East Asian gentleman. Is calling the police on them. I guess he's their landlord. And he's stating that they're tenants, and I'm calling the police on them because they threatened my wife, and they have a gun. So we're watching the video because the young man and his girl are in their car. This landlord is right outside their window lying to the police that they have a gun. This is in Canada. So the police show up, and there's like 8 cars deep. And you can see in the video, the cop is saying, who had a gun? Who called and said that they had a gun? And the landlord says, I never said they had a gun. The cop says, who called then? I called. Well, who said they had a gun? Do you see how many cars are here? Do you know what could have happened? Do you know why we showed up like this? And the landlord continues to lie.
So the gun laws must be different in Canada.
I don't know what they are.
Okay. Right. It's like 8 cars showed up for a gun.
Canadian police, man.
Yo.
The quality of policing over there in Canada, definitely different.
Yo, different. They for real.
Man. Yeah.
Either come out or we coming in.
Straight up.
For one gun.
As soon as you heard it, maybe ain't nothing happening over there. There's a lot happening in the U.S.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, man, but what kind of person is that?
It don't surprise me. You know what I'm saying? What would have happened, like you said, what would have happened if cops come a-blazing, right? And they killed that man or his family. Then that Korean gentleman, the Asian gentleman, just what? Well, go about my business.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
The value of black life.
No value.
No value. Yeah.
Thank God this wasn't America. Like, really. Thank God this wasn't like Mississippi or something, man. Or I don't know. You know what I mean? Just any... Listen, man. Thank God this was Canada, and they ran up over there and hollered at him,
man,
and they ain't kicked the door in on the alleged gun.
Alleged gun.
Shit. Yeah, man, come on.
Yeah, because that, you know, here they don't really jump to the defense of the us at all.
Where that nigga at? Right. They over there. Okay.
Oh, he got a toy gun. Get him. He got a Subway sandwich.
Right.
Get him.
You remember that bruh who? Wasn't he out in the park? The lady had the dog. She called the police on him. Mm-hmm. Wait, because he was trying to tell her to leash her dog up. Because the dog was running around. Mm-hmm. And then she called and said that the black man was threatening her and doing all this other shit. That's the same thing. And there's so many situations like that where they just say, oh, yeah, the person is black. It's just like just your mere presence is seen as something dangerous. And I've lived 41 years, and that's always been the precedent for me. And I have to raise my children and my cousins and little kids and tell them and prepare them for this to be their reality. But the conversations we're having, we're hoping that you're having watching this show are trying to help change that narrative and bring awareness. Because I don't want these next generations to have to live that way.
It's funny you say that, man, because and I don't normally even have topics, but like there is something that has really, really been bothering me as I go through, I would say, my analysis. So now that I do my own thing, I'll do sports. I got the draft coming up, okay?
Prolific Sports Podcast.
And make sure you check that out.
So I'm very annoyed by, and let's just go on and say it, how they are evaluating Justin Fields, okay? For me personally, I'm not a Buckeye fan. Most of the time, I talk really bad about y'all. And I guess it's because y'all not perfect, you know what I'm saying? So I got a lot to dig in, you know what I'm saying? So it's just easy to just nitpick one of the premier college teams and shit and how everybody love them, you know what I'm saying? It's just fun for me. But this fucking disrespect of Justin Fields got to stop right now. Like, okay, so I understand people like Trevor Lawrence. He's really good, okay? He's a really good quarterback, okay? I'm not going to hold you. He can play. He has 30-plus starts. But that's where I ended. Like, as I go through this whole evaluation this week, I'm moving Justin Fields up from number 9. He jumps to 6. I'm like, what the fuck? So then I go back through and I'm third player on my board now. At the end of the week, I'm like, this dude is the number 1 player on the board.
I tell you what, he better than Mac Jones. And hey, they all on that cat.
He's better than everybody. He's 6'3", 228, thick body. Dude looks like Eddie George, runs a 4.4 that he stumbled out the gate on, okay? I just want you to, it's probably a 4.3. Dude is 230, runs a 4.4 40, throws the ball 70 yards. He's not number 1? Matt, so you talk about Matt Jones and Trey Lance, 1 year. These dudes play 1 year. I'm looking at Matt Jones fucking throwing the dudes wide open.
Mm-hmm. All game.
Like, and I'm not talking about just open. I'm talking about wide. Oh, is 77% completion percentage because God, like, Waddle and Smith are going in the top 10. Yep. They are two top 10 receivers. They are wide open every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, they were wide open against Ohio State. Like, are you kidding me? Trey Lance, I like his game. He's a good quarterback. Yep. He does not have the arm strength. And when you look at him on film, he's athletic, but he does not have that Fields athleticism. He has you. It's a different feel when you watch them break the pocket. When you see Fields break the pocket, it's something special. Trey Lance can break the pocket. He's good. I ain't gonna lie. He got that RG3. But when you see when Fields break the pocket, it's like, and it's a lot moving, and it's speed, and it's, man.
He was a 5-star out of high school. I mean, this is what we're talking about. Superior athleticism, superior talent, size, weight, strength. Went to Georgia. You know what I'm saying? Like, you knew the guy was great. So then he transferred just so he could start. That's it. That's it. That's why he's at Ohio State, to be a starter.
And really, all he did was win at Ohio State. I mean,
so, yeah. So they tell me that he's not in the film room. That's why he's sliding. So then I go back and I look, and they tell me, oh, he throws to 90% of his first reads. And I go and I look at the film, and he does. He looks at, he's a one-read guy most of the time. But, like, all these quarterbacks are one read guys. This is a college system.
Correct.
There is not a guy out there who was not a one read guy. You know who else was a one read guy? Vince Young. He was a one read guy.
Right up.
And he was the rookie of the year, won 10 games. Okay. Had he kept it together, and this dude, Justin Fields, I'm talking about,
right,
faster, bigger, stronger, better arm. What are we talking about here?
Listen, if you're going to your second and your third and your fourth read, that means your talent is doo-doo. Because really, when I see my number one guy, and he should be open because he's the number one guy, especially at like Ohio State or Clemson or something like that.
Yeah.
Or even because schematically, your coaches are scheming to make it very easy for you. So your first read should be there. That's what they're moving all these players around just so they can hit this pass right here.
Right.
They're doing all this over here so they can hit this throw right there. Like, that's what you do in college. So you do one reads. That's how they play the game. Progressions is in the NFL because they trick you with coverages.
Right.
And they roll them. And guys are really good. And then they double team your number ones.
They're disguised.
That's how they get you in the pros. They don't play heads up and pick interceptions and stuff. Like, don't do that. Like, right. Guys are way too good for that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Best of the best.
So, I just feel like it's just disrespectful. And I understand that. The 49ers understand that they know what the fuck they're doing. Because they are going to be here to watch this young man throw on the 14th. They have requested to see him. So I understand people keep showing this disrespectful as Mac Jones in the number three to the Niners. Let the Jets and let the Jaguars do something really, really stupid. Remember when I said if Deshaun Watson goes to the Niners, that's a Super Bowl team. If Justin Fields goes there and produces, let me tell you something.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
They are locked and loaded, ready to go.
I'll tell you right now, the Jets are taking Zach Wilson.
Man, good for them. And you know
that's what? That's who they're taking.
All the love to Zach Wilson, but you know what? If Zach Wilson takes that shot Justin Fields takes in the Clemson game, he probably doesn't even throw out his pro day right now. You understand what I'm saying? He's still trying to recover from that.
I was surprised that he took that shot myself.
Toughness.
Yeah, that was a lot. Yeah.
Not to mention he had the pressure of that 31 nothing beat down to Clemson, the loss previous to Clemson. He had all the times Ole State lost to Clemson. Not to mention the pressure of playing against supposedly the number one pick in the draft. Man, Justin Fields is the number one pick in the draft. Look at the film. Watch it. Clock the man's 40. Look at the arm strength. Look at the pro day. You say, well, they complete all their passes in pro day. They all do. But look at his mechanics. Watch how he roll left, bring the shoulder square, twerk it, and then cock it and bring it back all the way across. And then not only that, look at his deep balls because he's a great deep ball thrower. The balls don't come out flat. He releases it, and he flicks the wrist, so it goes up, and then it drops straight down in the bucket.
So, when him in comparison to Trevor Lawrence, okay? So, Trevor Lawrence, we're saying he's the number one pick based on what he did at Clemson. Not as opposed to what his measurables are or what kind of athlete he is.
I mean, he's a really
Because he's a winner.
He's a really good athlete.
He's won, and he won a lot. So that afforded him that number one pick. So really, we're talking about Fields is the superior quarterback of the class, but he should be the number two quarterback because you know they're going to take it based on him, his winning.
Of course.
Yeah.
But how are we talking about – excuse me.
But they didn't even have him as two or three.
Exactly. So, like, my thing is when it comes down to it, you know – Justin Fields is better than a Mariota. He's a much better athlete than a Jameis Winston. He goes in that class, he's the number one pick. Are you telling me that I don't, and I'm going to go out on a limb with this one, man. Like, this is nobody. This is my personal opinion. I think Justin Fields, and I cannot believe I'm saying this shit.
Let's hear it.
Is a generational talent.
Wow. I don't know if I agree.
Listen.
I I mean, you've been watching a lot of tape, and I have not watched as much film on this kid like that. Because it's been different for me to be able to catch all these pro days.
And it's like, I'm just wired now to have to watch it, to have to watch it, to have to watch it. And I'm putting this reel together, and I'm like, and he's making NFL throws. He's throwing guys open. Like, and I go to the Mac Jones, he's wide open. And the BYU quarterback, he plays at BYU. They not playing nobody.
Nobody.
The Trey Lance dude, no interceptions yet. That's a one-hit wonder, but they're not playing nobody.
That's true.
This dude in two seasons, 63 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, another 15 rushing touchdowns. At the Ohio State, you're getting, and not only are you playing top-notch competition, you're getting everybody shot.
Are they playing top-notch competition?
When you get to the championship, when you get
is
Clemson not top-notch champion?
I'm
not going to say that the Big Ten is the best conference.
But definitely, when they play their big games, they win the games they should. They won the game against Clemson. I mean, like I said, that was just a joke. But, yeah, they
I know one thing, though. There's top-notch coaching going on up in there.
100%.
And they produce
100%
year in and year out. Great players. Year in, year out, great players that make impact in the league.
But it ain't been a time I've ever seen a quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah.
But this dude, I swear to God, I hope. I just pray he don't go to the Lions. Anywhere but there, man. I can see him going anywhere and being successful.
Where'd Atlanta move to?
They 4. Unless they trade it out while we doing the show right now.
How about that?
I don't like that.
Or the Falcons.
I don't like that.
That's where I see him going.
I don't like that.
Who's number 3? Oh, we traded up. So, yeah.
I like that.
It'd be there or Atlanta.
I don't like Atlanta.
I
don't really want him going to the crib like Dwayne Haskins.
I think he's Dwayne Haskins, damn it.
You know what I'm saying?
I think he's wired a little bit differently.
He probably is.
You said something early on. They said about his study, his film work, and things of that nature. There's a slight that they always use to black athletes, not mentally, you know, capable. And his work ethic. I think you said something about his work ethic.
You don't look like that physically
if you don't have a good, solid work ethic.
Listen, and I'm glad you brought that up because.
Can we talk about the fool who talked about his work ethic?
Dan Orlowski,
still works at ESPN?
Like, I don't understand why a dude would say he doesn't put the work in or. He's not the first guy in. He's the first guy out. And listen to me when I tell you this. And I lift workout every day. Dude look like Eddie George playing quarterback. Okay. 4-4. Throw a 75 yards. Somebody's putting in some type of work, right? You would think, right?
This don't just happen.
What did I say? 63 touchdowns? Right. Another 15 rushing? Right. That's almost 80 touchdowns, right? Man. Somebody's putting some work in, right?
Come on, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. 80 touchdowns, you're not putting no work in? Shut the fuck up talking to me.
I can't like Dan Orlowski saying stuff like that. Oh. It's just so disrespectful. You're a nobody.
You were nobody in the league. You weren't even good at college.
You didn't know you were out of bounds in a 2-point safety play. Mm. You didn't even know he was out of bounds.
Hey, right, you bomb.
You talk about situational awareness. And you was running out of bounds thinking you were still in bounds.
Man, you were the worst dude on Greeny's show.
How are you even talking about quality quarterback play?
Yeah.
The fuck out of here with that shit,
He always got so much to say about everybody,
Come on, man.
He the worst analysis, bruh.
I can get with a cat like Steve Young. I can get with cats who are Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Shannon Sharp. I get with cats who have put in work and are greats. And speak on a player. I can't get with a cat who ain't done shit in the league.
Like, for me, man, like, I'm glad you spoke on Steve Young. I can't get with Steve Young right now, man. He's trying to boost this dude, Zach Wilson, over to Jay Fields. I personally cannot get behind this. Like, you listen to me.
He entitled to his opinion. He's not, but
he's a bias. You went to BYU. You're talking about San Francisco is salivating for Zach Wilson. Man, no, the fuck they ain't.
Hey,
on the 14th, who you came to see? Justin Fields. You ain't come to see no damn Zach Wilson. You didn't ask Mac Jones to throw for you again. You ain't say, hey, Trey Lance, can you pitch it around for me again? Nah, but you said, hey, Jay Fields, can I get another look at you?
Right.
And shout out to him to say, yes, you can. Come see me.
Most definitely. You know what? It's my afternoon schedule. Come on in on the 14th. You know what I'm saying? I'll make it real nice for my 2 o'clock workout for you. Because you know what? He's in there. I'm over it, man. Like, I normally don't even... Like, for real, it's part of this show, and I'm just so sick of this shit every year. And now I just see these 3 other quarterbacks. And I don't even want to make race a part of it, but it's just like... It has been the whole thing my whole life. Why I'm a Florida State football Seminoles fan.
But, you know, it's just, like you said, it's persisted for many years. And we know about how black quarterbacks were viewed. We just got over the ability for them to be athletic at all. Because if you were athletic and you were a quarterback, they made you a receiver or a running back or a DB. They didn't even let you play. You know, I mean, I always talk about, like, one of the most skilled quarterbacks that I saw, who was black long time ago, was Antoine Randall. That kid was amazing to me at Indiana, University of Indiana. And they said, nah, man, you're too short at 5'11". You're too athletic. Play receiver. I'm like, man, and they continued to do that for years. So we just got over that hump. But we still haven't got past the part where they say, hey, those black quarterbacks, they're lazy. They don't watch enough film. They're not the first guy in, the last guy to leave. So we're talking work ethic.
Can I ask you something real quick, and we're going to wrap the show up, man?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who are the top 5 quarterbacks in the league right now?
I'll give you one of them.
Number one is, without a doubt, 15. If you say anybody else other than him, like, you're an absolute liar.
Mahomes, no doubt.
Like, you're absolutely lying if you say anybody else but him at number one.
Patrick Mahomes, you got to put Aaron Rodgers in that mix, all right? Listen, you got to put Josh Allen in the mix. I'm sorry. You know, and you're biased, but man.
Tom Brady, though.
No. He's not one of the best quarterbacks anymore.
No.
Right. He's not.
Deshaun Watson.
Definitely.
Deshaun Watson. And maybe, for me, I might put Russell Wilson in that mix. I'm trying to think of another.
I would take Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson, to be honest. I like Kyler's game a little bit better.
I'll take Russ.
I mean, Russ always seems to bottom out on me.
So at 5, I would say that we would have a push there, and I would let them both sit at 5. Similar skill sets, but I think Russell Wilson will win you a game before Kyler Murray will. And Russ did it with less for a long time.
True that.
You know what I'm saying? He got true that winner.
Yeah, let's take Russ at 5 for sure. He got that ring.
Man.
He put the numbers up.
We think about who he had at receiver when he got that ring. Still was like
a bunch of nobodies. And no disrespect to those guys. What? They made plays.
Yeah, but you know what? At that time, man, they were smart enough to know around to hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
All you need to do
that was ring two. That was ring number 2.
No, ring one was hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Ring two should have been hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Okay. Ring one was the Legion of Boom.
Defense. See, that's how they built
banging.
It. No doubt.
Hold
about
on, man.
No doubt.
Y'all cats forget about that run against the Saints that really sprung them.
No doubt.
To everything.
It's true.
He's the one. Listen, Lynch, beast mode. Yeah. I got love.
Shout
Lynch.
Out to Beast Mode,
man, because he keeps it real.
He do.
But yeah, you're right. It was that run that triggered what Seattle became. Yeah. Right? It was his energy that brought the Legion of Boom. It was him.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
He's got that infectious energy. It's
got
true.
Got that. Man.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I still can't believe they didn't get that ball to him. I know why they didn't, but I still can't believe they didn't get that ball to him, man.
All right, man. So, thank y'all for joining us today, man. TP, man, take us out of here, man.
Once again, thank you guys for joining us, man. We appreciate y'all coming in. We appreciate the new subscribers. Once again, hit the like button, share us. Thank you for the Cash App donations. You know, they'll go to the show. And we'll be back next week.
D. Lamore.
Hey, catch us next week. Conscious Spotlight. Maurice Womack.
D. Lamore.
Catch us next week. Conscious Spotlight. Maurice Womack. Wakanda. STEM technology. We got a lot for you. A lot. he can show you and learn from in the black community. He is an amazing figure in black community and black culture. So Maurice Womack, our conscious spotlight next week.
Great topics today. Great show today, fellas. Great shout out. Make sure you tune into us every Friday. YouTube, Spotify, subscribe, hit the like button, hit the Cash App, holla at your boy. You know how it go, man. Everybody, man, have a good rest of y'all night, man. Stay conscious, peace. Everybody. We out.
Peace.
Everybody, this is the host Money Mac, the pretty boy champ, for the scholar D. Lamar and the genius Tyson Area 51 Porter. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Conscious by Nature. Stay conscious, everybody.